Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes, on Audio Boom, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I can hope you hear the excitement in my voice because it is game day here in the Crescent City as the Pelicans take on the Chicago Bulls tonight in the Smoothie King Center. We finally get some NBA basketball here in New Orleans. It is back. This is a great type of day, and we've got a lot to break down today. The game's not televised, but basically, if you're going to be there, there's going to be some important things for you to watch for. So we're going to break down this game, give you a preview of it in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm just going to dive right into everything today, kind of go with the quick and dirty preview for you guys, since really it's just been kind of uneventful if you're a Pelicans fan the past couple of days. Yeah, they're going through training camp, but nothing particularly exciting is coming out. We don't really get to see much of practice, and this is really the first time to get a look at this team. And it's certainly going to be an interesting preseason game. I'm going to start with some of the comments that Alvin Gentry made to the media yesterday. And the first thing is, it echoes something he said before. This is really a three-game preseason for the Pelicans. And, you know, I think the Bulls are playing six games. The Pels have four on their schedule. But the final preseason game is against Memphis, who they then open the season up against a couple of days later. Alvin Gentry has said, you're not going to see much of what they're going to do against Memphis in that final preseason game. They don't want to give anything away. So this team really has three games to kind of figure out everything they need to, whether that's a small forward position, you know, the rotation, different things, and, you know, filling in that Solomon Hill role. So going back to Alvin Gentry and what he talked to the media about, he said in this game, expect to see the starters playing, you know, maybe between 24 to 28 minutes more than they'd normally play in a preseason, which might be kind of a half 20 minutes or so. But because of that condensed preseason, lack of games there to figure things out, this team's going to need to put these guys on the court more often than you normally see, which is great. It's a home game. We get to watch more Davis and Cousins, and I'm excited about that. And you should be as well, especially if you're going to be there. You're actually getting kind of money worth, deserved, whatever, worth of preseason, which isn't something you normally see. So the starters are going to play those kind of minutes, and say 28, under 30 is going to be the max here. And then I wouldn't be shocked if it ends up being on the lower end of that range he gave, maybe somewhere around 24 minutes or so. There's no need to risk injury. And you've seen the Pelicans always be conservative when it comes to injuries. Dante Cunningham was held out of the open practice and scrimmages the other day. Davis was sat after he kind of hurt his and dinged up his shoulder a little bit. No point in leaving him out there. So if things happen like that, these guys will get sat down and the team will figure it out another time. But we know who four of the starters are going to be. You've got Rajon Rondo, running point, being the floor general, as everyone's calling him. Drew Holiday moving off ball to allow him to attack more, be very aggressive. Exactly what you saw in the open practice from the Pels. He was assertive. He was driving to the rim, cutting, moving, just making use of the skill set that he has and not having to worry about distributing the rock anymore. And he also hit a couple of three threes, I think. Yeah, it was three threes, which is definitely a good thing and what you want to see out of him to help space that court, because he's going to shoulder a lot of that burden. Then you have Davis and Cousins down low. I'm going to talk about them in a moment or two about what to really watch for with them, because Gentry said something regarding that. But first, we've got to talk about who is going to be the fifth starter. And Gentry said maybe we kind of platoon it through the season. You know, maybe it's based off matchups. You saw Etuan Moore starting with the first unit in the open scrimmages, but that was because Dante Cunningham wasn't going to play. And I said the other day, I think you're going to see Cunningham start this game here, as everyone kind of just presumes he's going to do so. And that's what Alvin Gentry said. He strongly thinks that Dante Cunningham is going to be the starter. I don't think he's got it set in stone yet, and it might depend on a couple of other things, but expect to see Dante Cunningham out there with the first unit because he's coming off that injury a little bit here. He is only limited to 15 minutes, and this brings me to the first thing that I'm going to be watching for. In those 15 minutes that Dante is playing, is he mainly playing the three in the starting lineup with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins? Or do they also need him, as I said in podcasts the past couple of weeks, to also be that third big for the team, that first big off the bench? So maybe shifting from the three spot to the four spot when Davis or Cousins subs out whoever comes out first. If he's playing the majority of those 15 minutes with the starters, I think that's going to primarily be his role this season. If he does kind of split time between the two, it might give us a little bit more insight into the Pelicans' possible rotation and the different kind of lineups they're going to go. Don't forget, small ball for the Pels with Davis at center and Dante Cunningham at the four, and then the now injured Solomon Hill at the three, leading up to the All-Star break before the Cousins trade changed everything, was highly effective. We all thought small ball was going to save this franchise and the team last year and maybe get them into the playoffs. And of course, that all went out the window with the trade. But where's Cunningham playing? That's going to be interesting to me, because if he does spend the time with the starters, I think that's the kind of the unit you're going to see. Cunningham shot 39% from deep last season. He was the leading three-point shooter in terms of percentage on the Pelicans, which is almost a really sad thing to say about last season. He said he wants to shoot 50% there this season. He's going to get more open looks than he got last year. But to be honest, he had a lot of open looks last year too and missed these shots. No one respects the Dante Cunningham three, so teams just leave him open. One of the biggest things, though, and it's kind of a misconception when it comes to open shots, and that's why even, you know, I fall into it too, when you look at that data and you see how bad the Pelicans are in shooting open three-pointers last season, sometimes a shot in rhythm that's contested a little bit is better than a wide open shot out of rhythm. So when the ball's moving, when the player's already got his feet set and is ready to get the ball into his shooting pocket and then start his motion for the three-point shot, how they teach it, that can sometimes be better than a pass that's high or low and the player needs to gather himself again and get it in that shooting pocket and then move up into his shooting motion. If they're out of rhythm like that, they tend to miss open shots. No matter, you know, it doesn't matter that they're open, that no one's around them. That can happen a lot, and that happened a lot to the Pelicans at times when they really didn't have a lot of great passers out on the court. With Rajon Rondo out here, I think they're hoping that that's going to fix it, that he's going to get these guys, you know, shots in rhythm and hopefully open shots in rhythm so that they have a greater chance of going in. And I think that's what Dante Cunningham is likely going to be banking on if he wants to shoot 50%. But like I said, first thing I'm going to be looking at is what lineups are he in? I'm less worried about anyone else, but it's where is Dante Cunningham out on the court and what position is he playing? Because that might give us some insight in what to expect from the Pelicans this season. So before I get to the other things I'm looking for in this game tonight, don't forget, tune into the Locked On NBA podcast. Preseason has started. There's a lot of intriguing storylines out there, one of them being Lonzo Ball playing for the Lakers. I know you're curious about this because I am too, with his dad and everything. So make sure you're tuning into the Locked On NBA podcast just to get caught up around the league, know what's going on, be a smarter NBA fan. That's always a good thing. So like I said, it's once a week. They bring on anonymous coaches, scouts. You get some insight you're not going to get anywhere else. And it's a great listen to once a week. Make sure you just catch up on all the storylines. That's easier than trying to follow it every day while you're also keeping up with the Pelicans. So make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from Geico.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the Geico app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the Geico app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
Getting back to the game tonight, another thing I'm really going to be keeping an eye on, and this is based off something, I was going to watch this anyway, but I'm really intrigued by something that Alvin Gentry said yesterday after practice, and he talked about Davis wanting to do less of the pick and pop game and more of a pick and roll, and he wants to roll to the basket more. We all know his bread and butter and his scoring has been that pull-up jumper he has from mid-range that he's just absolutely automatic on, and by the way, no one can defend that. The dude's already, 7 feet tall, and then he jumps and extends with his arms and his insane wingspan. And even if you're tall and you jump with your arms up, he's jumping and he's stalled with his arms up. So you have absolutely no way of trying to stop that or block that shot. I wonder if that's ever been blocked off a clean release from him, to be honest. But that's not something we're going to try and look up. That's a lot of work. If anyone else wants to take on that challenge, please go ahead. But at least on that mid-range jumper, it's near impossible. So he's known for that. And, he hit 2 threes in the scrimmage the other day. But one thing we've always wanted to see is him just be an absolute terror in the pick and roll, which we all know he's capable of. And we've seen him do. And you've seen it. Jrue Holiday lobs to him. Other point guard lobs to him. And he just throws down something that is just undefendable. The interesting thing, though, about him wanting to roll was what he said to Alvin Gentry, and what then Gentry relayed to the media was that he thinks by rolling more, his teammates are going to get better looks. And that means it's going to force help defenders to come over. So now instead of absolutely standing in the corner guarding a potential 3-point shot from the Pelican player that's there, you need to sag off to help should Anthony Davis dive and get the ball on a pick and roll or a situation like that, leading to more open perimeter shots basically. And yeah, this makes sense, and we've known this for a long time. We've seen this happen again. The Pelicans get plenty of open shots. Ryan Anderson, when he left, tried to burn the Pelicans in the media, saying he's had more open looks in Houston's practices than he had in four seasons with the Pels. And that was never true. If you look at almost all of Ryan Anderson's shot attempts, they were wide open threes that he just missed. Again, it goes back to what I was saying before. Shot in rhythm is sometimes better than a shot out of rhythm, even if it's more open. So to be honest, I don't know if this is actually going to help, say, the open perimeter shooters in Rondo. We're not worried about him shooting threes, but Holiday or Cunningham or Moore and those guys. But the interesting thing that Gentry said when he was talking about creating more open shots was he specifically named Cousins. And this is where I get excited, and I think this is where we all get really excited. And one of the things we've wanted to see a bunch of, and they ran it a little bit last season but didn't do much, was the 4-5 pick and roll with Davis and Cousins screening for each other and then one of them rolling while the other one has the ball. And this works insanely well on the perimeter because I think we need to all accept that Cousins is actually a good 3-point shooter, as we saw evidence of 5 3-pointers made in the scrimmage and shooting an insanely high percentage for the Pelicans last season. Imagine Cousins with the ball at the top of the 3-point line. Davis sets a screen for him. Cousins, who is a very good ball handler, comes off of the screen. Davis rolls to the rim. That big man covering Cousins is probably also going to follow Davis, while Davis's man also follows Davis, leaving Cousins wide open with the ball at the top of the 3-point line. Boom, done, made three for Cousins. If they don't, and Davis is going to try and roll one-on-one with his man to the rim, that's where you can get a lot of those lobs that Cousins threw to Davis last season, where Davis would jump on up high, get it, and throw it down. And those were some of the best highlights we had all year. So it's about creating shots for Cousins with Davis's ability to roll to the rim and the threat that he, entails and the court gravity that he has. Even if it's not a 3-point shot and it's done at the top of the key, and right around the 3-point line, let's say. Again, 4-5 screen, Davis rolls, Cousins has the ball. That's going to leave room for another cutter to come in behind Davis too and get a ball and get to the rim and get an easy shot if both guys sag off and try and take Davis out of here. All of a sudden, there's a vacuum that a cutter in, say, Tony Allen, Rajon Rondo, Jrue Holiday can fill, can come screaming on in, get the ball from Cousins, and then score on an easy, basically undefended layup. I'm excited to see how often they use the interplay between the two bigs and Davis and Cousins here to see what they do. Do they run a lot of 4-5 pick and rolls? Because right now, this offense is really trying to get things set. They're trying to bring in, you know, what Chris Finch's influence is right now, which I, you know, said and dedicated basically a podcast to, saying I think we're kind of overreaching on this right now. Maybe as the season goes on, we see more of that Chris Finch influence. But certainly right now, it's just certain little concepts with it. The Pels need to get those in right away. Is the 4-5 pick and roll one of them? Because I would love it to be. And let's see what happens there, because I'm excited to see those two, Cousins and Davis, work off each other tonight. So as I start to wind down the podcast here and get you guys set for this preseason game, another thing I'm going to be looking for is defense. Alvin Gentry said he was really happy the team was a top 10 unit last year, but now their goal is to break into the top 5. And to do that at this point with the foundation set, even though you're missing Solomon Hill, who is the best perimeter defender and will hurt, is incremental improvements. Whether that's a little bit better defending on ball, calling out rotations a little bit better, sliding over earlier for help defense, what have you. Incremental improvements. Well, you're going to get a good test of that tonight, to be honest, because frankly, this Chicago Bulls starting lineup, or projected starting lineup, of Chris Dunn, Justin Holiday, Paul Zipser, Nikola Mirotic, and Robin Lopez is like one of the worst starting lineups in the, you know, NBA this season. Individually, some of those guys are good. Like Justin Holiday's all right. Mirotic is all right on the perimeter. Lopez, I think everyone wants just to get rescued from Chicago. But overall, that's like not, it's just not a good starting unit. So do the Pels come out and defend well? Are the rotations sloppy, or is there some cohesiveness with this unit? You have a good chance to kind of make a statement right now and build some confidence and show that you're improving. They need to do this because, man, it's just such a bad starting lineup that there's almost no excuse for, you know, playing poorly against them. Almost like there's no excuse for LSU to not beat Troy when you're a 3-touchdown favorite. Sorry, got to throw that in there. So that's going to be another thing I'm watching for. Do they all defend well? Do they defend well as a unit? Or are there maybe some concerns there with the lack of Solomon Hill in this starting lineup and rotation for the Pelicans? And then finally, the last thing I'm really going to be looking for is pretty simple. Do they shoot the 3-ball well? They showed off in the open practice that everyone was contributing to spacing the court. But do they get off to a hot start? You know, they started off slowly in the open practice, but then guys, you know, started having their threes drop. But this team needs spacing for Davis and Cousins to work at maximum efficiency, let's say. And teams don't respect a lot of these Pelicans three-point shooters right now. But you come out guns blazing in preseason, and you show people that, you know, hey, when they're starting to scout you guys and write scouting reports and prepare and watch film, that they see everyone burying threes. Those guys are going to stick a little bit closer to their defensive marks on the perimeter and elsewhere, and it's going to make things just a tad bit easier for DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis to operate down low and maybe prevent some of those double and triple teams that you're going to see. So do the three-point shots fly early, and do they make them? If they're missing but they're still shooting, that's all right. That's good, because hopefully those shots will start to fall. Or do they abandon the three-point game and then start to go away from it? If that's the case, that's not good. So those shots need to be falling early, or at least they need to be letting them fly. That's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast. Rate it 5 stars on iTunes. That makes a big difference. And please like it on Facebook. Just give a search for Locked On Pelicans and press that button. There's also a lot of content that gets put there and nowhere else. So it's the way to make sure you don't want to miss anything. Enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully the Pelicans can get a win. I've told you guys what I'm going to be watching for. I can't wait. If you're not going to be there, again, it's not televised, but you can listen to the game on 99.5 FM WRNO, and actually through the Pelicans app. Download the Pelicans app to your phone and you can listen to the game if you're not there. Easy. That's a great way to stay up to date with the team. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, @NolaJake on Twitter. I'm going to break down the game for you all tomorrow.